each other long enough. Long enough for me to appreciate your sense of humor, but apparently I do not understand it at all, Mr. Chaika. Call me Dave, please. That's an order, he added. Very well, Dave. My people are supposed to play the part of warrior caste soldiers. Sure, you'll be wearing Kristang armor with Silver Claw clan markings and carrying their weapons. Besides, to the Ruhar, all you lizards look the same. Do we all look the same to you? Nah, I've gotten used to you. There's ugly, then there's your special kind of ugly. Jates thumped his chest with a fist. I am honored that you have chosen me as the instrument of your death. You think I'm anything but ugly? Your people are soft and squishy. There's a difference. We can disagree on that. What in your tiny human mind made you believe I would agree to this idiocy? It will be fun. As you know, I am all about fun. You know what I mean. What is the problem? The problem is I am a soldier, not an actor. Why should I do this? Dave bit back his instant response of, because I told you to do it. His mercenaries were in the job for money, certainly. They also had a strong sense of pride, and the entire outfit worked because they trusted him to look out for their best interests. You will get more than triple your combat pay with no risk. In negotiations with the producers of the news program that was following the Tezzak unit, Dave had argued that even with paying the Verds an exorbitant fee, the savings on reduced insurance costs would more than offset the wages. I am about money as much as I am about fun, Jates growled. Maybe not you, Dave shrugged. What about the people in your platoon? You're going to make that decision for them? Cut them out of the money? They won't be too happy with you about that. Yes, because I am all about popularity also. Let's try this another way. We'll be helping a friend. What friend? Nert Dandurf. Jates actually blinked. Sarklast Dandurf is here? Yeah, he's with one of the Tezzak squads. The one with the embedded journalist, as they're calling it now. If he has to go into action for real, he or his people could get hurt. If we have to go into action for real, some of us could get hurt, and this bullshit op on Hefustria is not worth the risk. There is a real fight coming. Whether we can do anything directly against this outsider, I don't know. But I'm keeping our powder dry for when it's really needed. Think of it this way. We're assisting an ally. Not with any actual military force, but boosting the morale of their civilians back home and making their special forces look good. The whole point of this op is to foster stronger ties between the hamsters and humanity. And this program helps, whether we like it or not.
I do not like it.
Yeah, well, you and Nerdy can form a club because he fucking hates it. Jates grinned, or he showed more of his fangs than usual.
I knew Dandurf was a proper soldier. Perhaps I should talk with him about this.
He's busy. Well, I'll see if I can set up a time for a call. If you're still on the fence about this, I've got a sweetener for you. The producers told me that for authenticity, they need at least a dozen genuine warrior cast corpses.
Where are we supposed to get those?
When we get to Hefustria, I expect there will be plenty of young hothead warriors who are not happy they are losing their best and maybe only shot at climbing the clan hierarchy. We should find a target-rich environment. I, of course, will be extremely busy once we're dirtside, so I'm trusting you to lead your platoon and keep out of trouble. If you do get into trouble, I will officially not know anything about it, if you know what I mean.
Even more fangs were showing. I believe I do know what you mean. Very well. I will do this for Sarklast Dandurf, not for any other reason.
Your loyalty to me warms my heart.
Don't push it, squishy man.
Chapter 23. Being a Jaguar again sucked. So close to my family I could talk with them, but when I looked out a porthole at the planet, all I saw was a featureless fog. Margaret was upset that our boys apparently didn't miss seeing stars at night. To them, Pup-Tart's blanket was a comfort, not a trap. We talked about it. Other parents also reported their children believed the usual nighttime star field was full of monsters, and I really couldn't disagree with them. Since I was at the space station while Valkyrie was in space dock to repair battle damage, we watched TV shows for family togetherness. We weren't actually together, of course, and the still limited bandwidth for communications meant we could only talk to each other for 10 minutes. What we did was Margaret and I would both hit play on a recorded TV show at the same time, then we chatted after the show was over. She was usually sitting on a cot in a corner of the community center, and I was in the cramped VIP quarters aboard the space station, so we made the best of a bad situation. It sucked no matter what we did. Hey, Joe. Skippy appeared on my desk, which was actually in the office of a guy assigned to Chatterjee's staff. I told you there was no important new information from the ship that just arrived?
Yes, thank you for that. No news is good news.
That is not necessarily true. No news means there isn't yet another damn thing I need to worry about.
Oh, good point. Although, it really only means you haven't heard about another thing you certainly should be worried about before it grows into a problem you can't fix.
I'll take that as a win. Are you going to ruin my day now?
Whatever it is, just say it.
Okay, I did find something that at first I thought was simply an odd bit of trivia, but now I'm afraid this might be a sign of another major, major problem.
Crap, I slapped the laptop closed.
Did you get a discount on a bushel of major problems and need to use them up before they start to spoil and you have to throw them away?
Hey, don't shoot the messenger.
You're right. I held up my hands. Sorry? You said this only might be a problem? You don't know?
Well, you tell me. Back during the time we were engaged in raiding the Pentavar Archive, I heard reports of two Bosphorok star carriers that were overdue. Later, two more Birdbrain star carriers went missing.
Yeah, I remember reading a Navy intel report about that. Speculation was the Theranin had been hitting their rivals. All the missing space trucks were easy targets. They each only carried one or two destroyers or frigates at the time they disappeared. The Bosphorok filed a formal complaint with the Maxalts about it?
They did, and as expected, their concerned patrons told them to stop whining.
Fighting within that coalition has to be good for us, right?
Ordinarily, yes, but the Maxalts are already feeling they are boxed in and slowly, inevitably losing their struggle for supremacy in the galaxy, so weakening their clients will only push the Kitties tighter into an alliance with the Outsider.
That is the major problem you're worried about?
Not even close!
I just learned that the Bosphorok have recently lost a fifth star carrier in the same sector as the other four. With this last incident, we know that ship disappeared within a window of about 3 hours. A battleship strike group jumped away from the star carrier, leaving behind only a frigate. 3 hours later, the strike group returned to the same location, but the mothership and the frigate weren't there. No debris was found other than a flight recorder buoy that was ejected. Unfortunately, the buoy's memory was erased, so it couldn't provide any information other than a timestamp that shows it was ejected 57 minutes before the strike group returned.
So whatever happened, it was quick. Were there any residual jump signatures from other ships?
Good guess. Yes, one signature was detected from a Maxalt's cruiser.
Why are the Kitties stealing ships from their clients?
They aren't. I have access to the sensor data the strike group collected. The bird brains are debating about whether to accuse their patrons of theft. You know how I can see things in sensor data that others miss?
It is one of your many awesomenesses.
I wasn't sure if I had pronounced that made-up word correctly.
What did you find?
A faint but distinct Outsider signature.
Shit, why would it be shipjacking so many star carriers?
That is the question. I don't have any clue about what it is planning to do with those ships, other than it can't be anything good for us.
You don't have any evidence the other four space trucks were also taken by the Outsider, do you?
No, the sites of their disappearances are unknown.
Come on, Joe, it has to be the Outsider.
We don't know that, but for now, let's assume it is.
We should, especially because knowing the Outsider is involved got me looking into cases of other star carriers that have gone missing since about the time the Outsider attempted to steal the Dogzilla Sentinel.
8, Joe. There are another 8 star carriers missing. One or two could simply be mechanical failure or losses due to enemy action, but that makes a total of 13 unaccounted for, and we know one of them was taken by the Outsider.
13 freaking star carriers?
The number could be higher. I haven't been actively searching for similar incidents until recently.
What could it be using them for?
Skippy, I can think of only one reason why the Outsider needs so many of that type of ship. It needs to move something. Something big.
Ottavio? Kinsta called in a whisper as he slowly opened the heavy door, wincing as the old hinges creaked.
Kinsta! Come in, come in!
Scarandum called, flicking on a light to illuminate the dim room. Oh, also wipe your feet, please. You might have stepped in something unpleasant in the alley.
Don't say my name so loud.
Kinsta hurriedly ducked into the room, feeling one of his shoes indeed slip on the already stained carpeting.
Why are we meeting here? This building is known to the Inquisitors for harboring an illegal drug lab on...
He pointed to the also stained ceiling.
The second and third floors.
Yes, Scarandum frowned. That was a problem. Mostly because the operators of the lab consumed too much of their own product and neglected to pay the proper tribute to local law enforcement. They were on the verge of a very public raid before the ECO got them current on their bribes. I must say, if they don't straighten out and fly right, we might need to engage a new operator.
Kinsta's eyes bulged.
You know about and encourage an illegal drug lab?
Oh, they're mostly harmless. Also, the lab draws the attention of the Inquisitors away from the unlicensed gambling operation that occupies the first floor.
He reached back and tapped the wall. It is the gambling that brings in the revenue. Oh, don't worry. The ethics office controls everything within two blocks around this building.
I can't... Why are we meeting here?
I needed to do collections, so Scarandum shrugged. It was convenient.
I don't believe this shit.
Kinsta, as you are now back with the ECO as a commander, and I am an admiral, it is again appropriate for you to address me as sir.
I don't believe this shit, sir,
Kinsta sighed. Without the sigh or the eye roll, he jabbed an antenna at the subordinate officer. I saw that.
It takes some getting used to.
Then he added a belated, sir. That's better. Now, two glasses. Scarandum opened a drawer which popped up two crystal glasses and a bottle of Burgos slowly rose from a recessed slot. We should celebrate properly.
What exactly are we celebrating?
Why, our first joint venture operation.
Sir, we have worked together on many operations. This isn't the...
I meant this is our first time working together while you are an Inquisitor and I am an ECO agent.
I'm only pretending to work for the Office of Special Inquiries, and I was demoted from Inquisitor to Inquisition Administrative Clerk Second Class thanks to you.
With a rigid smile, he added,
Sir.
Surely you can't still be sore about that, Kinsta. Your new career is so much more exciting.
Exciting because I live in fear of a claw tapping my shoulder and seeing an Inquisition squad waiting to arrest me.
That will never happen.
Never?
Probably never. The Admiral shrugged his antennas.
Say, your odds of being caught would make for a juicy prop bet. I should,
sir? Kinsta's antennas stood straight up.
Please don't.
Nah, the office would frown upon my taking that action anyway. Besides, in this operation, the Inquisitors know you are working with me.
They what?
You weren't read in on this joint operation?
All I know is I was ordered to report to this office to collect information from an ethics official. It surprised me that I'm meeting with you, sir.
That was no coincidence. I requested you specifically.
No, no, you are going to blow my cover, sir.
No chance of that. Not this time, anyway. Kinsta, the Office of Special Inquiries requested me specifically.
Sir?
Sit, Kinsta, sit. Scarandum waved a claw. Pouring the bottle into a glass, he nudged the crystal across the table. Drink this. It looks like you need it. There was no argument. The drink was gone in one long gulp. The Admiral raised one antenna in alarm. Perhaps you should pace yourself?
Another, please. If I'm condemned to work with you again on what will no doubt be some sketchy scheme, I certainly don't want to be sober.
It is a privilege to see how much you have grown, my young apprentice.
Sir, I am no longer young, and I was never your apprentice.
Ah, more than you might think. He half-filled both glasses, thought about it, and added a splash to his own. I need to catch up, you understand.
Perfectly, sir.
That time, Kinsta sipped the beverage.
This I have missed. Inquisitors tend to be so dull, and they have so many petty rules.
No drinking during work hours?
They really don't even approve of drinking after hours, Kinsta frowned.
Scarandum peered over his glass at the obviously uncomfortable combination clerk and commander.
Why did you join such a bunch of stiff jerks?
I thought I was joining a group dedicated to honesty and integrity.
I have bad news for you about that.
Nothing you could tell me about the Inquisitors would make me have a lower opinion of them than I do of the Ethics Office, sir.
You are here because the Inquisitors requested the ECO conduct an assassination for them.
Kinsta's reply was to choke and spray across the desk the burgos he had just sipped.
Sir, sorry, sir. You shouldn't joke like that.
It's not a joke.
I don't believe this.
The commander tried to clean the desk with his sleeve.
You can choose not to believe it. Yet you are here.
Who will you be assassinating, sir? A Theranin? A Bosphorak?
Don't be silly. The Inquisitors only handle internal matters. Officially, that is. No, the target this time is
this time.
Kinsta's eyes bulged.
This has happened before?
Scarandum nodded. Often enough that both offices have official intra-departmental forms for such requests.
Which reminds me, he looked around the desk, I am supposed to receive such a form from your office.
They didn't send anything with you?
My manager told me to get over here and not to hurry about returning.
It must be nice to be so valued by your employers.
Sir, if I told you to bite me, would that be considered insubordination?
Yes, Scarandum laughed. But I think we can both agree it would be hilarious.
I'll save it for another occasion, then. The Inquisitors asked the ECO to murder a citizen? That seems extreme.
Extreme circumstances call for extreme measures. Are you familiar with a Kenton Argovian?
Everyone knows him, sir.
Then you will understand the request.
But we...
Kinsta fell silent. Not only is Argovian guilty of tax evasion, not only has he committed multiple counts of extortion without a license, he has set up one of the largest loan-sharking operations in the Tuvilio sector.
What is wrong with loan-sharking, sir?
He is undercutting the rates of the licensed banks. Kinsta whistled.
That is serious.
It is. However, despite the Inquisitors having very publicly investigated him for 7 years now, no charges have been filed.
The Inquisitors want him murdered because they failed to convict him?
Partially, but even that could not justify such direct action. Argovian is very, very smart, and he is blackmailing some very powerful lawyers and high government officials. He believes he is untouchable by the Inquisitors, and he might be right about that. Unfortunately for him, his overconfidence has led him into dangerous territory. He recently brokered a deal that allows the Maxolks to have a view into the ledgers of central wagering.
Kinsta gasped. This is a death penalty offense. He should be arrested now.
He would be, if central wagering could allow the public to know their security has been breached. This needs to be taken care of quietly. That is why you and I are here.
You... Kinsta shuddered. Don't expect me to assassinate Argovian, I hope.
No, although watching you try to do that would be hilarious. As I said, this needs to be handled with discretion for both the Ethics and Inquiries offices. A tragic accident is the best option. Some people, he took a sip of the fine burgos, like to get creative in a situation like this, but I prefer the time-tested classics. Less risk, and the classics have a simple elegance to them. In this case, I wish to arrange something that hasn't been done in a while. Actually, he paused, the glass held in a claw.
It is something I haven't heard of since you first came to the ECO. Kinsta was instantly wary. What is that, sir?
A boating accident.
Boating?
Boats can be very dangerous. The Admiral jabbed an antenna for emphasis.
But Argovian lives on Rakanva. It's a desert world.
Exactly. That is why he would never suspect a boat could be a threat.
There is very little open water on that planet, and none near Argovian's house.
That is not quite true. Scarandum took a drink, tapped on a tablet, and displayed a satellite view of an oasis in the middle of a desert. As an ostentatious display of his wealth,
He installed moisture collectors around the property, and his house is now surrounded by lush gardens, complete with ponds. Kinsta leaned forward, peering at the image.
None of those ponds appear to be large enough for a boat, sir.
That is why, when he is outside sitting on a bench near his favorite pond, which he does every sunrise, we will arrange for a boat to be dropped on his head from high altitude.
A boat will fall out of the sky.
Quite so. It is a rather elegant solution, though. I am particularly proud of this one.
Sir, that... it stretches the boundaries of believability.
Stretches it until you can see right through it, yes.
I assumed your office and mine, that is, both of the offices I work for,
Kinsta frowned, his antennas drooping,
would need what you call plausible deniability.
In most cases, that is true. In this case, the Inquisitors wish to send a loud and clear message to any miscreant who is considering following Argovian into a life of deviant crime. You might say that our rules of engagement here require implausible deniability.
I am already too old for this shit.
It is important that everyone strongly suspect the ECO was involved, and that the Inquisitors at least tacitly approved the operation, but that no one can prove anything.
Well, the case would be dismissed on a technicality?
That would be the ideal outcome, yes. Kinsta shook his head, downed the rest of his drink, belched loudly, and slumped on the couch.
What is my part in this, sir?
You need merely to bring this proposal, Scarandum slid a plastic folder across the desk, to your leadership. Your other leadership, understood?
Regrettably, yes.
The Inquisitors will either approve or reject the proposal. My expectation is they will approve with some slight changes that makes them feel useful.
After I deliver this, I won't need to do anything?
You should not do anything, other than forgetting this meeting, this conversation ever happened. Do you have any questions?
Just one, sir.
Speak freely, please.
I'm not sure how much longer I can live a double life like this. Would it be possible for the ethics office to drop something large and heavy on my head someday?
I watched a display from the space station as Valkyrie was towed out of space dock. As usual, Skippy's optimistic estimate of the repair time had been off by 2 days. That really wasn't bad, considering that the maintenance systems at Jaguar had no experience with the new version of Valkyrie. Reed was pleased with the repairs. Being in the space dock again had given her an opportunity to address some issues that hadn't been done quite right during the overhaul. Anyway, I was staying aboard the station until she declared her ship was fully ready for combat. She didn't need me getting in the way. Skippy had assisted with the repairs, complaining the entire time, and now he was bored, so he was my problem again. All right, Joe. His avatar appeared on my borrowed desk in my borrowed office. What's next? Next? We just narrowly escaped an epic beatdown. Another beatdown. The ship just completed major repairs again. The crew is exhausted, and we accomplished exactly freaking nothing. We foiled the Outsider's nefarious plan. Foiling a nefarious plan would be a great accomplishment if you were Scooby-Doo. If I were Scooby, you would be Shaggy. Also, I told you the Outsider wouldn't use its Starbreaker in the quarantine zone. Yeah, I'm convinced now that Starbreaker is more useful for keeping our sentinels tied down, protecting Earth and Jaguar. Bubba is stuck at Earth permanently. Pup-Tart has to remain a Jaguar for another 7-8 months. How do you figure that? It has to slowly bleed energy off the blanket. That's almost 6 months. Yes, but I told you, the star here has been destabilized. Unusually powerful, dangerous flares will continue for years. Pup-Tart has to stay there for much longer to shield the planet. My guess is at least a year. Not if we pull the population off the surface starting 6 months from now when the blanket can be removed. Whoa, he blinked. You're talking about that again? Yes, I have to talk about that. If we pull all the people off Jaguar, not only will the Outsider no longer have any incentive to strike there, we won't care if it does. That frees up Pup-Tart to go hunting with us. So, he stared in disbelief. Your plan is to do nothing against the Outsider for more than 6 months? I didn't say that. All I meant is we have to start preparing now to evac people off Jaguar once the blanket is fully drained and Pup-Tart can deactivate the thing. Well, tell me, Mr. Genius, where are all those people supposed to go? Most will go back to Earth.
I know a sudden surge of population will strain resources, but the UN has more than 6 months to get ready. We could also disperse Jaguar residents to Paradise and other shared colony worlds. The Verts, for example, would love to have more humans living on Karlashjevol. Our people there now are basically human shields. That was true, but the relationship wasn't as one-sided as it sounds. The Verds had offered humans free transport to Karlashjevol, free housing, and a monthly stipend to supplement whatever income they had from Earth. Mostly, the offer was attractive to retirees who could rely on pensions or other fixed income. The Verds had set aside a chain of tropical islands for the human colony, plus a mountain area that had great skiing with powdery snow. The Verds had great timing. A lot of people on Earth were tired of constant threats and disruptions since Columbus Day. 14,000 mostly retirees moved there, and word got back to Earth about the beautiful, unspoiled tropical paradise, the great skiing, and cheap travel packages to attractions all around the planet. Last time I checked, something like 40,000 humans lived there permanently, with another 10,000 of our people spending time there for vacations. No, I am not a paid promotional spokesman for the Karlashjevol Chamber of Commerce. I've never been to that rock. Maybe someday I'll visit when my family gets tired of vacations on fabulous places like Newark. My point is, if we had to pull everyone off Jaguar, the civilians would have options. What ifs? He shrugged. It's not my problem. Good. Sure. As long as you're cool with getting another visit from the Law of Unintended Consequences, it's all cool. What do you mean? I asked, assuming he was just screwing with me. It should be obvious, he sniffed. If you remove Jaguar from the target list and we take Pup-Tart out hunting with us, that pretty much guarantees the outsider will drop a Starbreaker on your son. Ah, shit. He hadn't been joking, that was obvious. It was obvious after he said it. I know the bullshit we told DEFCOM. Can Bubba actually stop it from deploying a Starbreaker? Shmaybe. I told you Sentinels are weapons. They were never intended to be used for protecting anything. Great. Fantastic. My already wonderful day has gotten even better. Ah, it might not be so bad anyway. The Outsider is 1 for 2 so far in triggering Elder weapons, but if we are extremely lucky, it won't be able to light off the second one. What? Oops. Oops. What the fu- Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. His avatar faded out. You're not getting away with that shit. You come back here right now. The avatar reappeared, but he was Obi-Wan Skippy with brown robes and a beard. He did the two-finger Jedi wave with, "These aren't the droids you're looking for. Don't try a Jedi mind trick on me. What did you mean, oops?" Ugh. The avatar changed back to his gaudy Grand Admiral uniform. "Can I get a mulligan? You know, like in golf when you get to do over a shot without a penalty? Take a guess about that. You think the Outsider can't use the other Starbreaker? Joe, you have put me in a very difficult position. You got yourself into this mess. What is it you don't want to tell me?" "To explain that, I would have to tell you, which I shouldn't. This knowledge is extremely dangerous." "I know about..." I checked that the green light above the office door was lit. The door was shut, and supposedly the noise-canceling feature of the door would prevent anyone in the passageway hearing me speak. Even so, I spoke softly. "The probability field. What secret could be more dangerous than that? Again, if I even give you a hint, you might figure out what..." "What I have figured out so far is that Elder weapons are not entirely reliable." "Oh, no. That is already too..." "Since 100% of the Elder weapons we triggered work properly, the issue is not with the weapons themselves, so it must depend on whether whoever activates the weapons knows the proper protocols or procedure or whatever." "Crap. Why are you so freaking smart when you shouldn't be?" "Talk, beer can. I already know you believe the Outsider got lucky at Jaguar. Whatever that thing actually is, we know it is way smarter than the kiddies or spiders. So if the Outsider isn't guaranteed to get a boom when it tried to trigger an Elder weapon, that means the strategic arsenals of the senior species are not even close to reliable. You can't tell anyone about this. You should have told me this a long time ago." "I couldn't." "You do understand that to do my job, for me to be a useful partner to your extreme awesomeness," I fed his ego, "I need information. Damn it, I've been reluctant to confront the Maxulks because there was too much risk they would hit Valkyrie with an Elder ship-killer nuke and then capture you. Now you're telling me if the kiddies fire a weapon at us, it might fizzle out? Be a dud? It probably won't fizzle at all. It will refuse the trigger command and do nothing.
Oh my, so I have been worried for nothing? Do you know how much sleep I lost? It's not for nothing, Joe, he sighed, and he used my name rather than calling me Dum Dum or Knucklehead or Numbskull. He was being serious for a change. Deadly serious. If the kitties decide to use elder weapons against us, they will simply bring enough weapons to the party so they can be confident at least one of them will activate. Shit. Can you understand why I was reluctant to tell you about this? You weren't just reluctant, you concealed vital intel from me. You are not the problem. Huh? Well, I trust you, Numbskull. Who I do not trust are the politicians who run your homeworld and the billions of short-sighted idiot monkeys who support them. Before we started this magical mystery tour, the galaxy was dominated by two species who kept a war going to benefit themselves. That war raged on endlessly, but at a low level. It never threatened to escalate into an apocalypse because there was a strategic balance between the senior species. Now there are three species who have elder weapons. Your leaders already feel they have no responsibility to become involved in the dirty work of keeping the galaxy stable, but they certainly love all the benefits of having power. My fear is if your people knew they had the only reliable arsenal of elder weapons, humans could replace the Maxulks as the bullies of the Milky Way. That wouldn't happen. Really? You're sure about that? I won't let it happen. You won't be here forever. Yeah, but you will. Maybe not so much. I felt a chill. Is there something wrong with you? I'm fine. I'm eternal, or close enough to it. Once you are... His face briefly twisted in anguish. Inevitably gone from us, I might not hang around the monkeys for long. Where would you go? It's not something I've really thought about. I would protect your boys, of course. Your extended family also. I could spend some time with the Beatles. No way, Skippy. They're too much like you. You would get bored. You're probably right. As you know, I like underdogs. Maybe I'll go hang with the Urgar for a while. They already worship me. I have bad news for you about that. Yes, I know they only pretend to suck up to me, but that's good enough for now. Well, I'm still here now. Can we talk about your long-term career plans later? We need to stop the outsider or there won't be a long-term anything for anyone. Sure, whatevs. Back to the subject. What percentage of elder weapons can the kitties and spiders actually use? Well, keep in mind they have been conducting exhaustive research since the last time either of them actually triggered a strategic weapon. Yeah, I got that. Back then, the Maxulks were able to get less than 9% of their weapons to activate. The Rindaloo managed 12%. Whoa, the best they can do is 12% reliability? My estimate is now the kitties and spiders could get roughly 17% of their arsenal to activate. That's not encouraging. Or it is encouraging for us. How many of our weapons are reliable? 100%. Yeah, because you are the trigger. No. Remember, I still have the hard restrictions that were built into my matrix. I can't use weapons. What I have done is modify the authenticator mechanism in all of the elder weapons controlled by you and DEFCOM, so you monkeys have independent authority to make your strategic devices go boom. It had to be that way, or your arsenal would be rendered useless for enforcing a mutual assured destruction policy. I think the ship has sailed on that policy anyway. Explain to me why, what I really mean is how, the seniors can get some of their weapons to work, but not most of them. It's because they have no idea what they're doing. Each of the seniors has been successful in removing the trigger mechanism, which includes the authenticator module, and they have been successful in getting the triggers to activate reliably. But when the triggers are reinstalled in their host weapon, most of them don't work. Right. Why not? The authenticators of a small percentage of weapons were bypassed by mistake while the seniors were fumbling around with the triggers. It's a flaw in the design. The elder engineers should be very embarrassed. I guess they can be forgiven for not foreseeing that filthy meat sacks would be playing with their toys long after the elders ascended. So it's a hardware issue. No, it's software. Not software the way you understand it. Somehow by fucking around with the triggers, they accidentally input the wrong authentication. Again, no. The elders designed the authenticators to assure an enemy could not remotely take control of a weapon, to activate it or disable it. They never imagined someone physically taking possession of a weapon and removing the trigger mechanism. That is probably why it is so easy to safely remove a trigger. It was optimized to prevent accidental activation. Otherwise, the things would have gone boom the instant someone screwed with the cover over the trigger mechanism. this software that's not software. So I asked casually while clenching a fist to control my excitement. Is that something you could hack into? Oh, sure, easy. Obviously, I have already modified the authentication protocols so you monkeys can trigger your weapons. Cool, cool. Hey, is it possible you could remotely disable an Elder weapon if someone fired it at us? Oh, I see what you mean. Sorry, no, I can't do it that quickly. It's a delicate thing. The real issue is I would have to be close, very close, to engage the authenticator directly. By the time I got close enough, I assumed the bad guys would have fired the weapon. Oh, also, once the weapon is fired, changes are locked out. Sorry. No need to say sorry. I concealed my disappointment with a smile. You do so many awesome things. That is true. It's too bad, actually. The process of properly activating an Elder weapon is complicated and takes substantial time. But for me to screw up the mechanism so no one could use a weapon? Well, that takes... He snapped his fingers and made a convincing sound. No time at all, really. Unfortunately, we can't sneak you into every arsenal where the kitties and spiders store their toys, especially since both species have their strategic arsenals widely dispersed for security, he agreed. Do we know where those weapons are? The majority of them, yes. Neither side located strategic armories in any of their major star systems. They are both afraid of an accidental activation. All of the armories have heavy security, and information about them is compartmentalized. That data is not even stored in the official archives. You can forget about sneaking me into an armory. They are shielded with powerful disruptor fields that would prevent us from jumping in with a DeLorean. What about a micro wormhole? It's possible, if we can dedicate more than a week at each site and we get super lucky. Joe, it's just not worth the time and effort. Okay, check my math, please. A 17% success rate at triggering strategic weapons means the kitties would need to fire 6 weapons to be sure of one activating? Correct. Also, I am impressed you did that math in your head. I had a lot of arithmetic practice helping my boys with their homework. What I didn't say was Jeremy and Renee were a lot smarter than I was at the same age, and my ability to help with homework had an expiration date. Like soon. If the kitties decide to attack Valkyrie with Elder weapons, they will commit to it. Bring double or triple the number of weapons to the party. That is a safe bet, yes. You started this by asking me what is next. I don't know what we should do next, but I do know one thing has not changed. We can't risk tangling with the Maxalts again. The risk of losing you is unacceptable. We have to act. I have to act. You know that. Yeah, and I'm beginning to think the Outsider also knows that. What? How do... It is counting on you being obsessed with finding it and killing it. I am not obsessed. I am simply doing the right thing to... Hey, Captain Ahab, you are obsessed, and it's not your fault. You were programmed to stop the Outsider at all costs. From the beginning, Skippy had protested my intention to fight what we now know as the Outsider, but it was he who kept insisting we act against the thing, like he had demanded that I take Valkyrie into the nanoplague quarantine zone. With hands on his hips, he demanded, "You have a problem with that?" I have a problem with the way you're approaching the issue. Too many times I have reacted to the enemy, and acted before I developed an overall strategy. That is kind of your thing. That's what you're doing now, Skippy. The Outsider is counting on you being so eager to attack and not taking time to think about how we might get it to react to us. Whatever. Until you dream up a way to find the Outsider, or you figure out its plan, this discussion is a waste of time. We got off track. So I'm going to break down Barney-style what you told me. The two seniors can't reliably use their Elder weapons, and you can disable them, but you need to get close to a device before it is launched, is that right? Basically, yes. Okay, so all I need to do is get you close to every Elder weapon in the arsenals of the Maxalts and Rindaloo. I don't foresee any problem with that. Skippy rolled his eyes. I often, too often, say the impossible is merely a speed bump to the merry band of pirates. My job is difficult enough without me adding more items on my to-do list. Did we really have to disable the Elder weapons of the seniors? Yes, damn it, we did. The Maxalts were helping the Outsider, and I couldn't risk going into a fight with them now that they were likely to deploy Elder weapons against Valkyrie. We didn't know how to find the Outsider. We had to wait for it to contact us, and any such contact would be another ambush. We had no way to figure out what it was planning to do next. And now we couldn't act against its local partner, the idiot Maxalts. My job sucks.
Chapter 24. My eyes flew open, and I was instantly awake. A glance at my phone showed it was 02:37 in the morning. You know how sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night and you're alert, more alert than if you slept for another 4 hours? That was me. I was awake, not sleepy at all. Skippy, I called, as I tapped the icon on my phone to turn on the lights, and then had a moment of disorientation when I realized I was still aboard the Jaguar.
Yes, Joe?
He responded, speaking in soft tones, almost a whisper. I need to talk about something.
Okay.
His voice was barely audible.
Make a note of it, and we'll talk after you get coffee and breakfast.
Why are you whispering?
You get pissy when you are woken up in the middle of the night.
I only get pissed off when you wake me up to talk about some stupid thing like the freaking Care Bears.
Hey! That Care Bear stare, when they radiate light from the symbols on their tummies, is demonic. It brainwashes children.
Oh, not this shit again. My sister's kids love the Care Bears. Of course they do, because they have been programmed and enslaved by those... Skippy, I promise you can wake me up any other night to go on one of your insane, incoherent rants, but not now. There's an important question I need to ask before I forget all about it, okay? Fine. If you don't care about your own children and your nieces and nephew, why should I bother with to hack into an elder weapon and change its authenticator software protocols or whatever? You need to be close to it? Yes. Within my presence, and the process takes an extended time. It's not me that is the problem. The authenticator was designed to resist tampering. I have to get through multiple levels of security. Why do you ask? Is there any way you could do it through a micro wormhole? Nope. There wouldn't be enough bandwidth. I had expected his negative answer, so I asked, what about if you used more than one micro wormhole? Nobody nope. You have no concept of the bandwidth required. Even if I use all the micro wormholes I am capable of creating and maintaining, the throughput of my presence would be a trickle, while I need a river. I mean, like the Amazon. Shit. My confidence was foolish. Well, it looks like I woke up for nothing. It's not your fault, Joe. Thanks. Your ignorance is a handicap you can't overcome. Your arrogance is a handicap you should overcome. It's not really arrogance if I'm simply stating facts. Listen, numbskull. To communicate with an AI inside an elder strategic weapon requires the presence of another elder AI, a powerful AI like myself. An elder starship can do it, although the control system of an elder starship would not ever do that, so the whole effort would be a waste of time. Plus, we don't currently have an elder starship. Well, there is that issue, yes. Is that all you wanted to talk about? Yes, sorry. Should I turn down the lights in your cabin, or do you want coffee delivered? No coffee. I was all wide awake and happy. Now I'm just depressed. For that condition, most humans would self-administer a depressant. Should I have a bot deliver a bottle of whiskey? Thank you, no. I flopped my head back on the pillow, certain I would dream about Care Bears. Big, scary, multicolored stuffed bears with claws and big teeth. If it can't be done, it can't be done. I can get almost another 3 hours of sleep. 2.5. We will be approaching a wormhole at that time. You requested to be alerted. Ah, that's right. Guess I'm not as awake as I thought. But thanks for... Holy shit. What? Oh no, he groaned. You have that stupid look on your face again. Reprogramming an elder weapon requires a powerful elder AI? That is what I said, yes. Ugh, if you're thinking we can find another master control AI that is still alive out there, you can forget about, nah, we don't need one. Then I do not see how, you really can't guess what I'm thinking? Joe, I am frightened to imagine what is going on in that disorganized sack of mush inside your skull. Please do not ever reveal your so-called thought process to me. I would be scarred for life. My matrix might sustain permanent and fatal damage. I'll just tell you then. That's probably the best option. Could the AI of a wormhole network controller hack into an elder weapon? He gasped. Yes, actually. And this is so indescribably delicious. Your idea is clever and also completely impractical. You think you're so incredibly smart, but don't bother me about details, Skippy. That's your job. Do you not even explain why it can't happen? Time, Joe. The issue is time. The transit from one side of a wormhole to the other is instantaneous.
Well, not really, but close enough for you, Meatsacks. The network controller would not have enough time to engage with an Elder weapon while the starship carrying it is passing through. Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants, what if the job happened in stages? Each time an Elder weapon passed through a wormhole, the controller could—
Ha! Wow, that is truly one of your dumber ideas. I need to make a note of that.
Forget it, Knucklehead. Each time the weapon transited a wormhole, the controller AI would have to start the process from the beginning. It would be like listening to the first stanza of a song over and over and over. I get the idea. Can you imagine having to listen to the intro of the same song 100 freaking times? Especially if it's something that is super annoying, like the beginning of Hooked on a Feeling? Please don't sing the Ooga Chaka, Ooga Chaka, Ooga 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 Chaka. Please stop. I'll do it again. Ooga Chaka, Ooga— Stop! That is like my great-grandparents' music anyway. How do you even know that song? I googled most annoying songs ever, and that one popped up. You googled that? Why? For a golden opportunity like this. Hey, I can also sing the classic annoying song, Havin' My Baby, if you like. I would not like. Skippy, if we could ever travel to another part of the multiverse, I would select a universe where that fucking song was never written. Theoretically, there are universes that consist of nothing but cold, dark, empty space. Sounds great. I want to reserve a spot there. Shit. I did think I was being clever. It's my own stupid fault for not remembering that there is no distance and therefore no time between wormhole event horizons. As far as you know, yes. What do you mean? Well, the length and transit time is not exactly zero. It's complicated. Darn, it's too bad your idea wouldn't work. I would love to remotely hack into those weapons. What I would truly love is seeing the expression on the Maxulks' furry faces when they tried to fire a weapon at us and discovered they're all duds. That would be cool, I chuckled. Well, I guess I can only stretch a clever idea so far, and this one isn't gonna work. It won't. Huh, what? I felt a surge of adrenaline. It's just... From long experience, I knew it was best to leave Skippy alone while he's pondering a new idea, because his pondering process can be ponderous.
I'm going to the station's cafeteria for coffee,
I yawned, setting my feet on the deck. Yeah, do, whatever. A few minutes later, I slowly strolled to the door of my cabin sipping hot coffee. The coffee had been sitting in the pot for a while since it was the middle of the night, making it extra bitter. All I cared about was the caffeine. All I really cared about was why Skippy had done one of his huhs, where he realized something that surprised him. Hopefully he hadn't experienced a revelation about the Care Bears. Or the Smurfs. Hey, Skippy, what's up? Hi, Joe. I might have something. An idea? Yes, a way to make your moronic concept workable. Except, No. No, it won't work. It could work. There's just no way to do it. Walk me through it, please. Okay, so not even Barney himself could dumb this down enough for you to understand, so I'll do the best I can. I appreciate it. The distance between wormhole event horizons is not zero, and the transit time is also not zero. Yeah, I knew that. No, you did not, he scoffed. I did know, because the far end of a jump wormhole is slightly back in time. Only from the instant that event horizon was established, but... He sighed. You are correct. Although that has no connection to what I am talking about. Anywho, there is a way for transit time to be extended, even extended substantially. Like how long? To you, it would feel like only a few seconds. Technically, people aboard a starship transiting such an extended-length wormhole would not experience any difference in time. Your meatsack senses couldn't comprehend the time slip. Would the ship's AI know the time is longer than it should be? Good question. Rindaloo ship AIs might understand something odd has occurred, though they would have to be looking for anything unusual. The AIs of Maxulk's ships would not have any clue anything was different from a normal transition. Great. How would this work? Well, that's the problem. It won't work. The idea is great in theory. There is just no way to actually do it as a practical matter. Walk me through it, please. Without using math? No math, please. Just tell me the practical part of the problem. You realize this is like describing an ocean by saying it is wet? Talk, beer can. The problem is the initial setup. Once I have uploaded the code, it's not code, but I get that. Once the code is resident in a wormhole network controller, it will extend the transit time for any ship that is carrying an active Elder weapon. What do you mean active? One that isn't already a dud, where the weapon's control system is operational. Okay, good. I know that each wormhole scans a transiting ship for hazards. You are adding Elder weapons to the hazard list. Yes, exactly. When an Elder weapon is detected, a protocol will be invoked by the network controller, and it will hack into and disable that weapon's authenticator system. Well, not disable the thing. Revise the trigger sequence so no unauthorized entities can use the weapon. Cool. Does that include the Outsider? It won't be able to use its Starbreaker? Unfortunately, that is unlikely. I strongly suspect the Outsider can enable the trigger mechanism directly, the same way I set up weapons for you to fire. Shit. Is that something the Outsider could teach the kiddies to do? No way, he snorted. It's not a method, it's a capability. The kiddies might understand exactly what is needed. They still wouldn't be able to duplicate the process. Actually, no, the stupid kiddies would have no clue what the Outsider was trying to explain. So there is no way for a wormhole controller to disable the Starbreaker the Outsider has, but it could render any other Elder weapons inert? Correct. Well, except for any Elder weapons transiting a wormhole with me, since I am obviously an authorized user. I still can't use weapons. I am authorized to have them in my custody. Gotcha. Okay, so far I understand this process will work the way we want after you have uploaded the code that is not code. Correct. This all sounds great, but there are a lot of wormhole networks out there. We can't go to all of them. I guess we could select the networks that connect near Earth and... What? No, dum-dum. Once I upload the code, which is really an enhanced security setting, it will propagate across all of the wormhole networks. Oh, wow. That is awesome. It's me, so... Could we start with the network that includes the backstop wormhole near Earth? It would be best to upload the code on a major network, one that spans a large area and is central to the overall architecture of the system. That way, the update will propagate more quickly. A few days, at most. This is a great idea, Skippy. I gave him 2 thumbs up. We should do this as soon as possible. Hey, I would love that. It simply can't happen. What is the problem? Time. But you said not time during an Elder weapons transit. The time it will take for me to upload code that will permanently adjust the operating parameters of a wormhole network controller. Hey, we can park the ship near an event horizon and hang out there as long as you want. I can ask Gasquet to set up a video game tournament or something to keep the crew busy. Thanks. But I can't be near a wormhole while uploading the code. I have to be inside it. You transit wormholes with no problem all the time, so why? It will take me 46 minutes to establish a link with the network controller, upload the code, and verify it is functioning correctly. I assume you can't ask the controller to stall the transit while you're in there? Actually, I can. Then what is the... Okay, technically, the actual problem isn't time. It's mass. To delay a transit that long requires the wormhole to contain minimum mass. Something the size of Valkyrie would be ejected quickly to keep the wormhole stable. Do you care to hear the physics involved? I would prefer not to, if that's okay with you. So we fly through in a dropship. We've done that before. Nope. Still too much mass. What if we stripped a dropship of everything that... Too much mass. Whoa. What is the limit? 217 kilograms. That has to include my own mass, which I can keep stable at 12 kilograms inside the environment of a wormhole. I can keep my mass stable for no longer than 57 minutes. After that, I might go boom. Let's try to avoid that. 217 kilos. What do we have that... Hey, can't we just shoot you out of a missile tube all by yourself? Unfortunately, no. Hence why I described this as an unsolvable problem. My insertion through the event horizon must be slow and precise, so something has to guide me and update the approach angle in real time. Then, whatever vehicle carries me in there must release my canister so I can upload the code. That doesn't sound like a good idea. You would be trapped in the... I would not be trapped. Once I am done, I will instruct the wormhole to return to normal operation. Then I will emerge from the far event horizon. Releasing you still isn't a good idea. What if the initial mass must be under 217 kilos? Once I establish a link with the controller to severely extend the transit time, the mass inside the wormhole has to be below 14 kilograms. Shit. Okay, no problem. We can fabricate a drone to carry you in, and, no, I considered that and it won't work either. conditions inside a delayed-time wormhole will seriously dork up the substrate of any control system. That is why I said there is just no way to do it. Any control system? Yes, it's an electrical engineering thing I could explain if you understood anything about physics. The way electrons are bound in the substrate, what about me? What about you? Could I do it? Do what? Carry you in there and release you. You? Yeah, me. In a spacesuit. Since you now understand that humans need spacesuits to survive in space. Oh, shut up. How do you imagine this could possibly work? I get into a lightweight environment suit, and it can't be that lightweight, dum-dum. The Cherenkov radiation would fry you. We will include a shield generator. It will have to be a powerful generator. Yes, but it only needs to work for a short time, right? I suppose you're right about that. How do you propose to adjust our angle of approach? You're not planning to flap your arms, I hope. I'll use a jetpack, you ass. It also only needs to operate for a short time. Me, you, a spacesuit, a shield generator, and a jetpack, all under 217 kilos. This is never gonna happen. The power cells alone for the shield would mass more than... Keep going. Well, power cells would only need to power the shield for the transition through the event horizon. Once we're inside, collectors can harvest energy from the wormhole itself. Cool. Could a microwave laser beam from Valkyrie feed power to the shield and jetpack as we approach? That way all we need to carry is an antenna to receive the microwaves. That is actually good thinking. He stared at me. Who are you, and what have you done with Joe Bishop? You are hilarious. Next question. What about this substrate? I tapped my head. You will go unconscious, of course, but... biological substrate is not affected in the same way. You monkeys get nauseous and experience headaches after going through wormholes, but you remain conscious and functional. Unlike the ship, your systems don't have to reset from spatial distortion. Of course, when I say functional, I'm being generous. Thanks for the compliment. We can do this, then? In theory, yes. Great. I slapped my knee. Design and fabricate a spacesuit for me, and a jetpack, antenna, all that stuff. I have to do all the work? Unless you trust me to do it. No. Besides, I need to spend my time practicing to fly the approach in the simulator you're going to design, fabricate, and program for me. I have to do all that also? You don't if you're okay with me screwing up the insertion. I would not be okay with that. Seriously. I stood up and poured the rest of the cold coffee in my bathroom sink. No way could I drink it. Should someone else fly you in there? We have plenty of qualified pilots aboard the ship. I would prefer almost anyone else to be carrying me, but, he sighed, if something goes wrong at the last second, I need you to be there. See? You do trust me. I meant if something goes horribly wrong at the last second, I want to say I told you so to your stupid face, knucklehead. You are such a... You know what? I would want to do the same, I admitted. Joe, this is amazing. I came to you with an unsolvable problem, and once again, you found a solution. We found a solution. That is true. It was mostly me, with you contributing only your usual, "Dad, what about this?" I'm already praying for that wormhole to tear us both apart. Come on, Joe. You and me, just the two of us staring death in the face again. Your death, of course, it will be like old times. The old times sucked. I can't argue with that. Well, I'll contact Reed and inform her. Whoa, no, do not do that. You're not planning to fly Valkyrie all by yourself, I hope. No, but we can't tell anyone about any of this. When we leave the ship in a spacesuit and a funky jetpack, we can't just tell the crew you're installing a new air freshener in the wormhole. If the mission goes sideways, I will need an air freshener in my spacesuit. Listen, Skippy, I'll throw together some bullshit cover story about why we need to go into a wormhole. You need to, install software to track the outsider, or something like that. Hey, is that something you could do? Unfortunately, while that is a great idea, it won't work. While I was constructed and programmed to recognize the distinctive signature of outsider technology, wormhole controllers lack the sensors to detect whether an outsider is aboard a transiting ship. Shit. If we know the signature of the ship it's using, would the wormhole networks be able to track it? Yes. Great. Then, unless the outsider masks the signature of the ship, which it can totally do. Forget that idea, then. No, I can request the networks to look for drive and hull signatures of ships the Outsider is known to be using. It's unlikely we will get any useful information, but it's worth a shot. Please do that also. Thanks. Back to what I said. We can't let anyone know the real reason we're doing this. Once again, I am demonstrating extreme awesomeness, and I can't tell anyone about it.
Sorry, you can't.
Why not? He demanded.
Well, think about it. You described the problem.
I did?
Yes. Right now, a bunch of ignorant monkey politicians have sentinels to hide behind and their fingers on an arsenal of elder weapons. What will happen if those monkeys learn the two senior species do not actually have any operational elder weapons, and we have nothing to fear from anyone? That we can do pretty much anything we want, and no one can stop us.
Ooh, nothing good. That is a very good point, Joe. Darn it, filthy monkeys have ruined my day again. You are wrong about one thing, by the way.
What?
I will stop your people if they become the next group of assholes who seek to rule the galaxy.
Thanks for that. All right. No way am I getting back to sleep now. I need to talk with Chatterjee's staff. That can wait until morning. I should talk with him directly about this.
About what?
Borrowing at least a battle group to come with us. We need more than just Valkyrie, right? We should have ships on both sides of the wormhole.
That is a good point. Also, since the recovery ship will be stationary and vulnerable, best to bring some firepower with us.
I'll talk with Chatterjee about it. Tell him what we need.
He won't like it, Joe.
You're wrong about that, Skippy. He will like it, and the crew of the ships will be pumped to go with us. They've been sitting up here, powerless to do anything. We'll give them a chance to see action, an opportunity to do something.
I suppose you know more about monkeys than I do.
All right. I gulped the last of the bitter coffee. I'm going to log some quality time in the station's jetpack simulator. Upload the settings for the jetpack I'll be using when you have the thing designed.
Oh, sure. You have fun while I do all the work.
You know the saying, with extreme awesomeness comes extreme responsibility?
It comes with extreme suckitude, he grumbled.
Cut, cut, cut!
The director waved at the camera drones, shouting, though, since everyone involved was wearing an earpiece. A whisper would have been sufficient.
What the fuck was that?
The mother of all cluster fucks is what it was?
Nert grunted as he forced his supposedly dead-powered armor to lift him off the ground. Around him, the operators of his unit were also simulating death, their suits having lost power as a response to being tagged by simulated weapons fire.
None of this was in the script!
The director ran across the field, furiously jabbing a finger at Jaetz, who was stepping through a hole blasted through a concrete wall.
You are supposed to be dead!
The big Verdgris stood impassively, muzzle of his rifle pointed at the ground, finger off the trigger, though the weapon was not loaded.
You insisted on authenticity. In a real fight between my people and these...
He shook his head at the Tezzak operators, who were all even more disgusted than the victorious Verdgris were.
These professional soldiers, what you saw would be the result. It is not any of your fault.
Jaetz extended an arm to help Nert stand up.
You did the best you could.
That wasn't good enough.
Nert took off his helmet and pressed the button to reset all mech suits in his unit, taking them out of simulation mode.
The problem was not with your people. You followed the script. Would you ever use those tactics in combat against a Kristang force?
Hell no,
Nert snorted. Both professional soldiers looked at the director.
That isn't the point!
Escott Poindit threw up his hands.
Real combat happens too fast for the audience to follow, and it is messy. I want to tell a nice story here, and your chain of command,
he jabbed a finger at Nert,
is on board with the program. Are you on board, or do I need to find another unit?
I am not inflicting this nonsense on anyone else,
Nert whispered to Jaetz.
We are on board, Mr. Poindit. Can we try it again our way?
Will it be another clusterfuck?
Yes, but in our favor,
Nert promised.
How long will it take to reset the battlefield?
The director stared in dismay at the holes blown in walls, the thick smoke billowing from every building in the abandoned village that had been chosen for the exercise.
I have a medical therapy session scheduled in just over an hour.
You should certainly keep your therapy appointment.
Nert knew he had plenty of time. The director would be in his fancy trailer with one of the lovely young female assistants for at least 2 hours,
longer if recreational substances were involved.
We will be ready to go when you decide the light is good.
He looked at the sky. Poindit considered for a moment. All right. You get one more shot at this, then I'm bringing in professionals. With a whistle, he swung a thumb over his head, signaling the video crew to wrap up for the moment. As they watched the director being driven away, Nert folded his arms and glared at Jates.
Your team was supposed to be a group of warrior caste hotheads. You didn't use any of their tactics?
They don't have tactics, Jates insisted. They act on emotions without any thought for consequences.
That's what I meant. Can you please play your part in this farce so we both can go do our real jobs?
Yes. The big bird placed a hand on the big Ruhar's shoulder. My people have made the point. I had hoped that idiot, he made a rude gesture at the director's vehicle, would learn something.
Poindit only listens when he is talking.
We will do as you wish. Besides, he squinted up at the local sun. We are only getting bonus acting pay until sundown. Nert's mouth sagged open.
You are getting paid for this?
We get the pay. Jates' grin was full of sharp teeth. You get the glory. The second run-through of the fake battle went well, better than the director expected. The climax was the dramatic death of Jates, who first was shot multiple times, then fell off the roof of a two-story building, then crawled forward despite his suit being broken and out of power. He got off two shots before his rifle was shattered, and even then he reached for his sidearm. Leaping into action,